Hello, this is St John's Church in Birkdale, and this is the Sunday morning talk for Sunday the 19th of November. I don't know if many of you can cast your mind back as far as the 1950s, but if you can, you may recall those sci-fi cartoons. And they always had aliens landing on Earth, didn't they? And on meeting a human being, the first words they said, because they spoke perfect English, of course, were, "Take me to your leader." Well, those little green beings would usually end up with the local sheriff, but if you were to be asked that today, who would you take them to? Who is our leader? Well, we might start off with the mayor, if we knew who they were, the police, if they turned up, or the Home Secretary, who would probably send them back. I guess we'd get to the Prime Minister. If we were in America, it would be the President. And who might that turn out to be next year? But do you think of any of those people as being true leaders? Well, if you were at business conferences, when I was certainly at work, we would often be asked that question, who do you think of as a great leader? And people came up with the same names, Winston Churchill, Elizabeth I, and Jürgen Klopp. Now, not many people in the room had ever met any of them, but they had a mystique about them. And being a leader is rarely straightforward. Do you recall when Boris Johnson became Prime Minister, he reported that Her Late Majesty had said to him, "I don't know why anybody would want to do this job." Well, if you are choosing to be a leader, you'll believe that you can make a difference and change things for the better. But what are the essential skills that you need? Well, today we're going to look at a notable leader who has always been associated with a particular leadership quality, that of wisdom. In biblical times, "Take me to your leader" would have meant an audience with your king. And our current series of talks looks closely at three great kings from the Bible. To date, we've heard about Saul and David, and now it's the turn of Solomon. We're still in the Old Testament, and now the book of Kings. And these, you know, these are books of history. The history of God's people, some 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. Is that still relevant to us today? Well, history, whether you have a faith or not, always teaches us lessons for the future. But with a faith, with a belief in God, history teaches us the scale and power of God's plan and teaches us how we should live our lives. So let's look at the succession from David to Solomon. As the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. "I am going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations and laws that are written in the law of Moses, so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me, 'If your descendants live as they should, and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel.'" So there we go. Take courage, be strong, follow what God wants us to do, and we'll be successful in everything we do. Everything is going to be fine. Well, sounds straightforward, doesn't it? Straightforward words and advice. But they are straightforward, and they are just as good for us as they were for Solomon. Follow in God's path, and our life will be blessed. Now, if you think back to Roy's talk last week, you'll remember that King David, the one giving out this perfect advice, had turned away from God at one stage of his life. How could he now lecture his son on faithfulness to God when he himself had been led into adultery and in effect arranged a murder? Well, it's because he did those things that he can instruct Solomon now. He knew that the pleasures and the power he had felt were quickly swamped by the darkness of the realization of how much he had ignored God and been led by his very weakness. But David had repented and turned his face once more to his heavenly Father. We can hear his personal confession of his weakness in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my shameful deeds that haunt me day and night. You see, God had never given up on David, because he never gives up on any of us. And now his son Solomon, born from his relationship with Bathsheba, born following God's forgiveness, was being prepared for kingship. Here is God keeping his promises, that David's line would always sit on the throne of Israel, leading eventually to the birth of the Messiah. Here is God making something new, even out of our failures. Let's listen to what happened after he'd taken over as king, in chapter 3 now of Kings, first book. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. One night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said to him, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and faithful and true. And you've continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me, Lord, an understanding heart, so that I can govern your people well, and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame." Well, you see, there is no temple to worship in at this time, no official place for sacrifices to be made. So we find Solomon on a hilltop when he hears the call from God. And I think this is a theme we'll be talking about a lot more in the future, God calling out to us. We have a modern image of kings or queens, don't we? Probably more to do with pageantry and ceremony. We might see this as showing off, and in many ways that is right, because all of these things were designed to show off the power of the monarchy to the ordinary person. Kings in biblical times had real power. Solomon had real power over the very life and death of his people. And with power always comes responsibility. But how will that power be used? It must have been a frightening prospect, especially as it's thought that Solomon was only a teenager at this time. We can feel his anxiety, I think, in this text, can't we? "I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around." So, what qualities of leadership is he going to need? Well, I spoke in my last talk of the fruit of the Spirit, as told to us in Paul's letter to the people of Galatia in the New Testament. These were the personal characteristics given to us to live a good and godly life. We mentioned the fruit of love and forbearance, of kindness, faithfulness and self-control, and the fruit of peace. And I think we can add now to that list the gift of understanding, Solomon's request from God. "What do you want?" God asked Solomon. What a question. "Tell me what you want and I'll give it to you." What a question for Solomon and what a question for us. But Solomon doesn't hesitate in this passage. He just says straight away, "Give me an understanding heart." And what a beautiful phrase that is. "Give me this, Lord, so that I can govern and lead your people and know what's right and what is wrong." He could have wanted material things, but he knew that what he needed was understanding and wisdom. Solomon's request showed that his heart was in the right place, the right place with God. And as a recognition of that, God was pleased to give him more than he asked for. So as well as wisdom, he was granted a life and a reign of many gifts. Under his rule, Israel would experience greater prosperity and power than it had ever had. And indeed, a great temple would be built to worship and thank God for his goodness. It was built as a demonstration of their special relationship with God, their Father. So whatever could go wrong? Well, the trouble is, this is not history. This is history. This is not a story. This is human nature. And next time you will hear about how even faithful people can forget that they owe whatever they have to the graciousness of God. Solomon had heard his calling to be leader from his earthly father, but more importantly, he'd heard the call from his heavenly father. God was working out his wider plan through this young boy, and Solomon knew that the secret of staying aligned with that plan was to walk faithfully before God with everything he had, with all of his heart and all of his soul. That was the advice that he'd been given by his father and from God. And it's still the advice that we're given today. Oh, our circumstances might be different, but our call from God is still the same, to be faithful, however much darkness there is around, however hard things are. Give to God your very heart and soul, and he will take care of us. And that happens not just when times are tough, because staying faithful can be difficult when things are really smooth. How many times have you heard of people who seem to have everything good in their life? Glittering careers, positions of influence, and they go and destroy it all as they make mistake after mistake after misjudgment. They make a misjudgment as to their own real worth, and make the mistake of forgetting about the God who gave so graciously to them in the first place. Think about verse 9. It tells us, for who by himself can govern a nation? No, true worth cannot be bought. You need wisdom. The true emblem of a happy, successful life is not what you have, but what you do with it. Being well off is not the same as well-being. No, wisdom is a gift from God, and Solomon knew that. Acknowledging God in the first place could be said to be the beginning of wisdom. And Solomon went on to write so much wisdom down in the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs. Have a look through those early chapters. I like particularly chapter 8 that says, "Choose my instruction over silver and knowledge over pure gold, for wisdom is more valuable than rubies." Whatever we have been given by God is truly valuable, and we must never ever doubt that. We must pray to use our lives wisely, to use them most in the areas where things matter the most, with family, good friends, with community, and especially with those who have a lot less than we have. If you find yourself running around like a child who is lost, turn to our Lord as Solomon did. Like him, we need wisdom and the kind of understanding that can only come from God, and from a personal relationship with the coming Messiah. Solomon is remembered across thousands of years as the king who threatened to cut a baby in half. People who've never heard a single word from God or read any of the Bible have often heard of the judgment of Solomon, and it's described for us later on in this book of Kings. Very briefly, as you may know, this is the story of two women who were arguing who was the infant's mother presented to the king. One of the women was the real mother, the other had lost her own child. Both claimed this baby as their own. So how would Solomon decide the rightful mother? Well, actually, I'm not going to tell you the answer, because you can look it up for yourselves in 1 Kings chapter 3. But the point of mentioning it is that verse 28 tells us that the people realized the great wisdom God had given him to render decisions with justice. And how much do we still need that today? Wisdom with justice. These books of biblical history tell of the kings of Israel, of how they had to fight frequently against their enemies, their successes and their failures. Does that remind you of anything more recently? We have to pray for wisdom with justice. If God were to say to you, "What do you want? Ask me, I'll give it to you." Just what would it be that you would ask for? Would you ask for wisdom? Or would you ask for peace, maybe? For shalom? Think of Solomon. Think of shalom. That's the Hebrew word for peace, and it means so much more than just a state without conflict, a world without fighting. It means a wholeness, a well-being, an inner peace as well as an outer peace. It conjures up an image of the world in a peaceful harmony, working just as God always intended it to. So let's pray and thank the Lord for the gift of his wisdom, his justice, and his peace. And may we listen and act with courage. Amen.